Okay, good to be with you. Good to see you back. You don't have a tan because you have been indoors for the last few weeks, right? Those of us that have permanent tans, we have no worry. Look with me at a few verses real quickly in the book of Romans. Once you get a little older in life, you start thinking about death and going on with the Lord, and you have financial planners who want to plan your life and your house and this and that, but you have to die before all things come into being, so it's kind of hard to go see these people. All they talk about is death. Insurance people, well, when you die, I mean, your family will have a lot more. Well, I would like to die with beautiful feet, okay? I want my feet to be beautiful. And the way to do that is to do what it says in Romans chapter 10. You like to have beautiful feet, and people will say, boy, that guy's feet were beautiful. They only become beautiful if you do what it says in this chapter. And this is something we should be doing on a regular basis. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. This is the New King James. How many have the New King James Version there? Okay. How many have the NIV? Raise your hand. Okay. Very good. Let me get the NIV. I got two of them up here. But I like the old one better. The New King James. How many like the King James Version? I mean, I think some of us old-timers, they love that. Romans chapter 10, and we read verse 11, where it says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. A tremendous challenge, right? Get people who call on the name of the Lord. That's what I have to do. Call on the name of the Lord. Put your faith in him. Salvation is so tremendous, so quickly, so wonderful. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So you want to have beautiful feet? You go preach the gospel. Those are the greatest feet. You don't need Adidas. Converse was when I was growing up. Converse, playing basketball for my high school. A pair of Converse, $10, that was the thing, you know. White Converse. Now you have, you know, make it happen. No, make it, what is that? Michael Jordan's. I saw a guy once, not too long ago, by 24th Street and 1st Avenue. And he had these beautiful sneakers on. It was beautiful, gorgeous. What, those are beautiful sneakers. Yeah, I got them on a sale. Well, yeah, how much did it cost you? $900. He says, they're $1,500, but I got them at $900. So I'm going to wear them for a couple of more days and I'll put them away. These guys invest on sneakers. And then later on, you sell them. I have an iPad that one of the original ones. They cost a lot of money now. So you see, older things are worth a lot more than younger things. That's why I never throw away things. My wife is a thrower, and I am a keeper. But I have to start learning how to throw because it's coming down to that, the stretch. So but here you have beautiful feet. And you and I have to preach the gospel. And we do it in different ways, right? God has spoken, the Bible says. God has spoken in different ways. He's spoken through his creation. And Psalms 19 tells us that. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the earth, all this, it shows his fullness. It's tremendous. He's speaking. In Romans 1, he tells us that his eternal power and Godhead, there is a God. They know it. Because God has revealed it to them through his creation. And then it says in that same chapter, so that they have no excuse. People have all kinds of excuses why they don't come to the Lord, why they don't believe in God. But you know, the day is coming. The day is coming, in the final judgment, that every mouth will be stopped. Everyone who rejects the Lord will be found guilty for all eternity. So if you don't want to waste your life, you don't want to be wasted in hell. You know, when we see things that are no good, things that have no value, things that just you just don't want, you throw them away. Well, that's what we become if we don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. If Christ is not in you, you're outside of Christ. Therefore, you have no life. God is the giver of life. God is the giver of salvation. God is the giver of blessings. God, our God, is the one that's sustaining all of us. We read this morning, didn't we, in Colossians, that the Lord Jesus Christ sustains everything by his word. So you're alive. I'm alive today because he's keeping you alive. You know, man has found a way of splitting the atom and they could destroy things. But only God keeps the atoms together, keeps you together, keeps me together, keeps this world together. We're living in a world that is fastly just going, perishing so fast. Great country, America. God is put to the side. The Bible is not wanted anymore in the schools. They're taking the Ten Commandments out of the courts. They want nothing to do with God. And yet God is the one that's sustaining them. So every time we have a beautiful snow, I like snow. This guy I work with at the jail, Michael Ross, is the chaplain. He said, Henry, you're the craziest Puerto Rican I've ever met. You're a Republican. You love the cold. And you like snow. It doesn't make sense. Well, I tell him, well, you know, that's the way it is. But, you know, we have such a wonderful message to give to the world. And I would invite you to join the club of beautiful feet. You know, you go through New York City and out here also, they got all these salon parlors where they do the nails and they all kinds of things. It's crazy to me when I see some, I don't know if you ladies have those long nails here, but there's long nails. It reminds me of King Nebuchadnezzar, where he went crazy for 7 years and his nails grew so long, he's like an animal. Nothing against your long nails, guys, but but I don't see how in the world they type anything and do it anyway. That's beside the point. Beautiful feet. Would you like to have beautiful feet? You know, if anything is remembered in this life by any individual, it would be if you told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. What would be the last thing you would like to do in this life? In your job or in your family? I think all of us, you know, I want to preach another sermon. I want to tell somebody else about Christ. We should have that desire. I want to live for the Lord. So God has spoken through his creation. So the Bible says no one has an excuse. There is a God who controls all things, a God who's providing for everyone. And you know, God will provide today for the murderer who committed a murder tonight in New Jersey, New York. The rain will fall for him. He'll get the oxygen, he'll get the air, he'll get the sun, he'll see the God is a gracious God. God could have just destroyed that man or destroyed me or you. But God is patient. God is kind. God is waiting for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God speaks to us through his God speaks to us through our conscience. You have a conscience. I have a conscience. And you know right from wrong instinctively. When you do something wrong, you feel it in your heart, especially when you're young. You did something wrong, and you try to hide, you try to run. I remember going home one day when Stephen was just a little boy, and I came home, and he ran because he knew he had done something wrong. His conscience bothered him, okay? Well, you have that in you, and it tells you what's right and wrong. It doesn't save you, but you're able to detect in your heart. God has put that in your mind. Everyone has a conscience. The problem is, some people's consciences are seared, like with a hot iron. You don't feel anything because you've done sin so much that you're not sensitive to what's wrong. And that's what's happening to us. And it's really sad what's going on with the media, with the internet and all those things. There's so much out there for anyone to just plug in, tap in, and you see all this nonsense going on. You have to watch yourself. Control your life. Control what you see. Control what you do. Control where you go. Only God will be able to give you the power to say no to sin and yes to God. You can't do it yourself. Okay? So God has spoken through our conscience. Our conscience is not enough. Some people have a seared conscience, and they just go astray, where they could commit a murder, steal, do all kinds of things, lie, cheat. The taxes are coming up now. How many people are going to be cheating on their taxes? And then they start looking over their back. Did I do it right? Are they going to call me? Why didn't I put this down? See, that's what happens. Sin has a way of catching up to you. Make sure your sin will find you out. A brother from Chile is a full-time worker, works in jails all across South America. He's been here. He's been with me to Rikers Island. And he gives an illustration. He says, you know, the devil offers you the world. Come, take it. You know? You see it on these TV stations. You see all these young people trying to make it big. And they make it big. The devil gives them everything. You have all the cars, the clothes, the women, and the houses. You have everything you want. And then little by little, it starts taking it away. The thief who goes in and robs a bank, for the rest of his life, he's going to be looking behind his back. He's going to look behind his shoulder. So the devil gives you all that, and then he starts taking it away little by little by little. You can't go to this city. You can't go to this town. You can't go before police. You're looking around because sin will find you out. And I see a lot of these guys in Rikers Island where they're in a cell with a toilet, a sink, a bed, and they're there 24/7 because they're in solitary confinement because of their crime. So here the devil says, I'll give you everything. And then little by little, takes it all away until he takes away their life into hell. But you know, God is able to take that person who's incarcerated, who's bound by sin, and set him free. And his spirit will be free to have beautiful feet. He could have beautiful feet. Paul had beautiful feet in jail, didn't he? He was in jail. He's incarcerated. And he says, you know, things work out for the better. I'm here in jail, and the whole palace guard has heard. Everybody knows that I'm a Christian. They know that I'm a Christian. I'm here because of Christ. Not only that, but the Christians outside, they see me in jail, and they realize, I gotta fill up for Paul. He was preaching there. I'm going to go there and preach. This is why it's important, brothers and sisters, to try to get out of a job in the church. Keep working, but have somebody else come in and do your job, and then you do something else. That's what Paul said. Teach others that they might teach others and teach others. This is the way the gospel is propagated. The assemblies grow. The church grows. So basically, teach the word of God. Do those things, okay? So God speaks through a conscience. God speaks through his creation. God speaks through the word of God, the Bible. More specifically, more directly. Look at chapter 19 of the book of Psalms. Psalms 19. Psalms 19, real quickly, because it's so important for us to realize that the book you have in your hand, that I have in my hand, I don't know how many Bibles you have in your hand, in your house, how many you have it in the computer. We could walk with Bibles. We could have them 24/7. You could get up in the morning. Instead of turning on the TV, you could turn on the Word of God being read to you. This is important. So it says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Verse 7 of Psalms 19. Okay? The statutes of the law are trustworthy, making wise the simple. You want to have beautiful feet? You want to have wisdom? The word of God is going to help you. All of us. Okay? The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Are you lacking joy this morning? Are you depressed and you get up in the morning and say, oh, man, another cold day, more snow, I have to get up to go to work, I have to do this, oh, my kids are bugging me, they're bothering me, oh, this one's sick. You know, the Bible says the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The devil can't take away the joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Because the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. Your circumstances will change, but you're sure that if God is for us, who can be against us? Let Him come. God is going to fight our battles. Jesus is going to help us, and we can take courage in that. The command of the Lord, are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Okay, you're going to have beautiful eyes, 2020 here, and you have really 2020 right there. Okay, if you know the Lord. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Pure, the fear of the Lord, fear the Lord. What's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge? The fear of the Lord. When people don't fear the Lord, they get into all kinds of trouble. They don't believe in that there's a God. There's no one you have to account to, but we know that someday, each one of us here will have to stand before God. Praise God that Jesus Christ will be our lawyer. He is our Savior. He paid the price. He paid the debt. We owe God nothing because Christ paid it all for us. But there are people who are counting on their religion, counting on their own faith, counting on the good works. They're counting on what they have done. If it's better than my bad things, they're going to take me to heaven. All religions are like that. I do good enough. When I die, maybe God is going to give me heaven because of my good works. But the Bible says that all our good works, all our righteousness before God, who is holy, righteous, are like filthy rags. And we see a filthy rag, something that's dirty and nasty, you don't even want it. You don't want to be near it. That's the way it is. In the eyes of God, okay, we have no righteousness of our own because we were born in sin. We're born with like a magnet that will naturally gravitate towards sin. Why is it that people, you know, when you're children, you have to spank. It's a bad word nowadays, right? But you have to discipline them. You don't spank them, but you discipline them. You have to have this because sin is in the heart of the child. Sin is in our hearts. We have to be spanked too. We have to confess our sins. We have to come before the Lord. That Christ that lives within us, that Spirit that is within us. The Bible says in the book of James that He yearns to take control of who we are, of what we are. God has recreated us. He has made us new. All the capacities that you have can be channeled to Christ. And all that energy that was going to sin and other things can be channeled to the Lord. Can become part of who you are for God. So if you have a talent of being a musician, be the best musician you could be. I just love to listen to classical music. We used to have some kids that used to come, like foster kids, and even some of our kids. When they misbehaved, I tell them, go over there and sit down and listen to that classical piece. Say, oh, no, go sit down. Go listen to the Messiah. And to this day, my son says he loves the Messiah. Okay, so there's discipline in the life of the individual. So you have to be, you're the best. Be the best for God. What is it, that runner, chariots of fire? He says that when he ran, he felt the freedom of the Spirit in him. So whatever you are, whatever the gifts are that you have, let's bring him over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be the best mathematician you could be. Be the best no mathematician you could be if you have no knowledge of math. I have no knowledge of math, but my wife does. So everything she does, all the paperwork. I get the glory, she gets the work. And that's the way it is in most families, right? The wives do all the work. In the churches, the women are the backbone of the chapel, but the men have the responsibility of being up front and teaching the word, and just being there as the head of the family. But God uses the women in a wonderful, wonderful way. Okay, so the Lord speaks through His creation. He speaks through our conscience. He speaks to us through His word. So every one of these verses just gives you something special about the Lord. It says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. So people are into money. Everybody wants a little more money. You know, we look for bargains because money is precious. Money is important. Gold is precious. And basically the Bible says the word of God His thoughts, his wisdom, his life in us is more precious than anything else in life. And this is why we get so attacked by the devil, by the world, by the flesh, not to spend enough time in the Lord. Very important. I was reading a book, just read a couple of lines from a brother who was a full-time worker in Bolivia, and then he went to England. He taught 20 years the Word of God in England at a Bible Institute, and he wrote a book concerning the Old Testament. And he uses the book of Amos to explain how the Old Testament is put together. So he brings archaeological findings, the language, the customs of the people, everything about Amos and the people around him to understand the Old Testament. But he said one thing that he taught the students of his class for 20 years, you must read the Bible. You must read the Word. You must put yourself into it. Memorize it. You guys that are young now, take time to memorize the Word of God. Those things are going to stay with you forever and ever. You know, all the different sports people and all the different records that are made and who wins the Super Bowl and now who won the skateboard championship. You know, all these different things. You might know them, but what good are they in the next 5 years? What good are they when you become a dad or a mom? Memorize the Word of God. Get into it. It's really important. You'll remember those verses if you memorize them. So the Word of God is so important. Anyway, that's just a side issue there. God speaks to us through the prophets. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Because God has spoken. God is speaking. God is working. God is alive. God is real. God is true. God is just. God is everything he says in the Word of God and more. Because he is God. And he's the one that wants to reveal himself to us every day of our lives. Chapter 1 of Hebrews says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. Again, when God brings his first begotten into the world, he says, let all his angels, God's angels, worship him. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. So here you see a beautiful picture of the person of Christ. Yes, he was a man. Yes, he gave his life. Yes, he offered his life as a ransom, as a sacrifice to save us from our sins. But he was God Almighty. This is why you have a little talk there, a little speech between the Father and the Son. What does the Father say about the Son? Your throne of God is forever and ever. The Bible is so unique, so wonderful, so tremendous, so outstanding. It's just mysterious and yet so real. Because God has revealed himself enough for us to know him in a personal way. But we must get into him as we walk with him. So the Father speaks to the Son. He says, your throne, O God. It's interesting. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Because the way in which God has spoken, he's spoken through his creation, he's spoken through our conscience, he's spoken through his word, he's spoken through the prophets, praise God for the prophets that spoke the word of God. The last word of God to man is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name. There is no other Savior. There's nothing else that God can do for you unless you come to the Lord, because God has no other way. Jesus Christ, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if it's possible, if there's any other way, that you could save this people. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Can you imagine the pain in the heart of Christ? He was going to die for your sins, my sins. The Lord of our guiltiness, the punishment of a holy God upon sin was going to fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was praying. And the Bible says that his sweat was like drops of blood. He was in agony. He was in pain. He had learned obedience to the Father. And praise God that he always obeyed the Father 100%. He never stepped out of bounds. He never stepped out of the will of God. He was always obedient. And then at the end, there's one verse that really impresses me in the book of John. He says that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, let's go. Let's do the will of the Father. Where was he going? He was going to the cross. He was going to die. He knew that Satan was around. He would say, Satan is around here, but he has nothing on me. Satan was trying to accuse him all the time. All through his life, he was tempted. Remember, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, the devil came to him. If you are the Son of God, since you are the Son of God, come on. Why are you suffering? Just do your will. Come on, make a little bread. If you are the Son of God, come on, Jesus. You know, prove that you're God. Prove to the people. Do it quickly. Just jump down from the temple and the angels are going to carry you. And the people will know for sure, this is the Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ told them, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Follow the Lord. The devil misquoted the word of God. And that's what he does. That's his specialty. So as God said, told Eve, and Adam was there right next to her. Putting doubt into the minds of Adam and Eve about the love of God. But the mercy of God. How many times have we had doubts about the faithfulness of God? God is able. God is willing. God can help us. You know, when I go to the doctor, my blood pressure goes right up. As natural. Some have higher tolerance, but mine just goes up. And it comes down. Praise the Lord. When I rest a little bit. But you know, there's fear in some things. When things go wrong, did God forsake me? You know, your car. If you drive a car, things always go wrong with cars, no matter what it is. New, brand new, old. The old jalopies are the best. But you know, things go wrong. Go wrong with your family. Go wrong with your job. Go wrong on the street. Something happens in the subway. We're living around dangerous times, aren't we? Who knows when somebody's come up with a bomb and stick it to some mall here in New Jersey or in your school. Things are so volatile, so dangerous. But you know, God is still in control. God can still take you as you go into this fiery furnace and he'll be right there with you. And he'll stop the fire. Or the Bible says that some of the men of God in the Old Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, some of them were not saved from danger. Some of them suffered torture. One of them, I believe, tradition says, Isaiah was sewn in half. Sewn in half. He was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. That doesn't mean that basically just because you're a Christian, you're not going to go through these sufferings, these problems. But what it does mean is that you're going to glorify God through that suffering, through that death, through that danger. You will be able, by the grace of God, to have the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. There's some of these Christians, here, Christians out in the Middle East, who are being beheaded, dragged out. Some young kids, young girls. You know, Lord, why? Everything will be reconciled to the glory of God. There will be special rewards for those who are beheaded for the Lord. Those who are martyred for the Lord. The tears of the people of God. The Lord has them in the bottle. How many of us have shed tears? I think we shed tears because of our iniquity sometimes. Shed tears because of, you know, things are not going right. But you know, shed tears for the glory of God. It's very important. God has everything under control. This is why the Apostle Paul could say, if God is for us, who can be against us? All things work together for good. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So that trial, that problem, that dilemma, that's just an opportunity for God to show himself strong. And we see that in the life of Christ, don't we? Matthew 8, 9. Everybody that came to Christ, Christ had the answer. The leper. Who would touch a leper? Who would get close to a leper? Come on. Jesus touched them and took that leprosy out. Peter's wife had a fever, burning fever. She was sick. The Lord took that fever away. And what did she do? She took a leave of absence. No, she got up and started serving the people, serving the Lord. The Lord healed him. At least, I think you find different miracles the Lord performs. He has power over nature, power over death, power over hunger. The Lord is in control. Every time he came, he changed lives. A demon man. One man was demon-possessed. This guy was bad. I mean, totally, totally bad. Something like Charles Manson or something like Bin Laden. Any of these people, really bad. He came to the Lord and the Lord changed him. You know, maybe you don't know real bad people like that. But you might say to yourself, man, this sister in the church, she's really bugging me. I can't talk to her. This teenager is driving me crazy. This problem that's right here in the chapel. There is no unity. There's no this or that. And problems arise all over the place. Okay? The answer is coming to the Lord. Coming to Christ. Finding the answer in the Word of God. God has the answer in His Word. God has the answer through His Spirit. Anyway, I'm a little here. Well, I wanted to touch also, just to finish it up, because it's in that book of 1 Peter. It's something that has to do with, which will be for another sermon next time I come back. Good time is gone. But look at 1 Peter. I want you to look at verse 17 and 18. It says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Tremendous what I read in the King James. New King James, sorry about that. But this is the cross, the center of the gospel. This is what God is trying to tell the world, tell you, that there is an answer to the dilemmas of the world. There's an answer to the problems of the world. There's an answer to the needs of the world. There's an answer to the attacks of the devil. The Lord defeated Satan when he tempted him to make bread out of stones. When he told him to jump down and people are going to know you, the Lord says, no, that's not the way to do it. Then the Lord, the devil took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, everything that was really tremendous. Jesus, I'll give you all this. In a moment of time, he showed it to him. And you know, that's the way it is. A moment of glory, you sell your soul. It's better to come to the Lord and let him give you what really is glorious, what is really powerful, what is really worth something. So here, this is the cross of the teaching of the Word of God. This salvation didn't start in the Garden of Eden. This started in eternity past. In some wonderful way, God had things planned for you and for me. Look what he says in verse 20. "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." This is important. God had this plan, and you see, he was the Lamb of God from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. And you see animal sacrifice all the way through, from Adam and Eve, the Lord clothed them. Cain and Abel, one offered an animal sacrifice, blood was shed, a life was given, because sin demands death, punishment. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. And there's no other way in which a righteous, holy God will take you and me to his heaven unless he deals, first of all, with sin. And Jesus Christ did that work for you. He shed blood. His life poured out. It's all there. And he died for you. He took your sins and buried them. He sets you free from sin, from the power of sin, from the presence of sins. He'll do that in the future. He sets you free from the guilt of sin. How many of us have guilt in the back of our minds? Is God really going to forgive me for what I did in the past? Yes, He does. He will. He'll never remember them. Today, you need power. I need power. We need power today to be able to fight against the attacks of the devil. The Lord says, I'll give you that power today. Where is that power found? It's found in the Holy Spirit within you. It's found in the Word of God within you. It's found in the brothers and sisters of Kenilworth Gospel Chapel. We're all working together for the glory of God. So you can be an encouragement to your teenage friends, to the brothers and sisters here, to the elderly here. We can all be encouragement. We come here, brothers and sisters, to be encouraged, separated from the world. God's people meet together to worship, to encourage, to strengthen each other, to exhort each other, to do all those things. Now, just two more points real quickly. But something that really caught my attention here is that the Bible says that the prophets, look at the verse, a verse that speaks about that. Verse 12 of 1 Peter 1. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. This is heavy stuff here. Angels want to know what's going on. But even before that, there's another verse that says, verse 10 of 1 Peter 1, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that will come to you. Searching what? Now, these are the prophets, okay? And one manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. This is tremendous stuff. The prophets, Jeremiah, Daniel, all these men of God, they searched. Daniel was sitting down and he said, I searched Jeremiah and the time has come. 70 years. They searched. The Bible says that the angels, they're looking forward to this. When Jesus was on earth, there was a lot of angel activity in his birth. The Bible says that after Jesus finished that attack against the devil and he won that victory, the Bible says that the angels came and ministered to him. What did they minister to? I don't know what Jesus Christ liked. You know, I know my kind of food. I like all kinds, but some specific food. And you prepare that for me, it's great. Jesus, I don't know what he liked. He ate. He ate fish, he ate bread. But the angels came and ministered to him. They supplied his need. And you know, God is going to do that to us today. You and I have to come to the Lord. So here the prophets searched. The angels were looking at this. When Jesus was being taken, he says, look, told Peter, Peter, come on. I could call legions of angels. They'll fight for me. Put that sword away. And the Bible says that each one of us, in a specific way, has a guardian, an angel, there's ministering spirits that are here to help us. Praise God that God's angels. But we have something greater than that. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Son of God in heaven interceding for us. We have the Word of God. We have the Church of Jesus Christ. We have each other. So let's take courage. Let's continue inquiring, looking, that we may grow to be more and more like Christ. Christ offered himself. God wants us to offer ourselves to him. Like he says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beg of you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what he wants us to do, right? He wants you to be a living sacrifice, just like Christ was accepted by God the Father. Just like his feet were beautiful. Praise God that he walked upon this earth, that he was nailed to the cross, that he touched lives. You can be, through Christ, you could touch lives also. And you could be a blessing to it. We sang, make me a blessing. That's a beautiful song. But you know, the Bible says that we have this glorious message, this glorious Christ in earthen vessels. In other words, you drop a vessel of glass or clay, it's going to break. Let's not look at each other. Let's look at Christ. But let's, by the grace of God, allow Christ to be seen in us. And realize that we're very fragile. We need each other. We need to come to the Lord all the time. And he's there all the time. So what are you waiting for? Even this day, let's look into the Word of God. Let's start reading more, pray more, and being a blessing to others. Okay, let's close in prayer. Said a lot of things, but you know, God speaks to us. You've been away from the chapel 2 weeks. You're probably filled with things to share with us. And I hope you do that. I hope we all do that for the glory of God. Father, we pray that you bless all the saints at this chapel. We thank you, Lord, for the many years that you've used this chapel. Not so much the building, Lord, but the saints that some have gone already before to their glory, to their reward, to be with the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the missionaries that Kenilworth has sponsored and helped. Lord, for all the things that have happened in this chapel, from a little preschool to missionary meetings to Bible studies. Lord, we praise you that this can be a lighthouse. May it be or continue being that, Lord. And we pray that you'll bless us as we go to our homes, that we will not forget that we're yours and that this is the Lord's day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one quick prayer request. I have 200 copies of the Daily Bread, and God willing, tomorrow, on a Tuesday, and for the rest of the month, this is good for March, April, May. And God has opened doors in Rikers Island, in GRVC, which is the most dangerous place to go into. But God has doors open for us to go in, give these daily breads with tracts to the officers, to the staff, to guys in solitary. It's just an open door. Pray that God will use this and the tracts to change lives. Thank you. God bless you.